Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to a 31-20 loss for the Titans against Cincinnati yesterday. And a game, Joe, that, man, if you would have told me heading into that game, the Titans would have been as inept to start that game as they were, I would not have believed you. And even on the offensive side of the ball, which has typically been very good this year, very consistent, some poor decisions made yesterday. They actually moved the ball okay, but you get down to the red zone. Tannehill throws just an atrocious interception after Cincinnati's driven down the field and taken a 3-0 lead. And that really set the tone for a half where it was really tough for the Titans to get anything going on either side of the ball in that half.
Yeah, if you really look at the offense yesterday, you have a great drive. You're just doing whatever you want, like we thought would happen all day. You get the terrible pick. Probably the worst play Tannehill has made as Titans quarterback.
Oh, I'd say for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the pick against New England last year in the playoffs. That was a force. But this was just like, you could see it as soon as he let the ball go. Like, how many people are picking that one off? Then they drive, have another nice drive. It stalls, but you know, you miss a field goal. Then their third possession, 10 plays, 75 yards. They gain every single yard on running the ball, mostly Derrick Henry, a little bit of Dante Foreman, but just bully them down the field. And that really, so then they had one other possession in the second half, and that was the possession with Humphreys getting hurt, and they end up, you know, by the way, what a weird 4th and 8, and you're doing all this stuff to try to get into field goal range, and you run a little pass in the middle of the field with no timeouts. You may as well just kneel. There's no chance you're going to complete that and have a chance to kneel or to spike the ball.
It made no sense.
That was terrible. All those possessions looked like basically a team that could do what it wanted with the other team as long as you finish drives. I'll tell you what, the big play in this game, the first drive for the Titans of the second half, they go 54 yards in 6 plays, but they get the huge holding call on Ben Jones on a Henry run up the middle that was for a first down, and that killed the drive. And I didn't see a look that made it look like a good call at all. That was a killer call in this game. That might be the worst call the Titans suffered all day.
And Mike Vrabel's talked about the lack of holding calls this year in the NFL. Got one that bit him right there.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, then you know, and then really, like, they never had any drives. I mean, they never went 3 and out. You know, the next drive was 34 yards on 7 plays, but they punted. Then you go touchdown, touchdown. But by then, your defense has made it impossible for you to actually win the game. So the offense, couple mistakes, couple bad breaks. It looked a lot like the Tennessee Titans offense, but what that offense has been doing is finishing drives.
Yes.
And this one didn't enough. And then all of a sudden, now Derrick Henry's out of the game. First time they've ever lost with him going for 100 yards. And I swear that that's one of those games, you know, if he knows. I mean, 18 for 112, like he knows that was a game. If it's a different kind of game and he gets to 25 or 30, that's a 200-yard game against that defense.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And going back to Tannehill's interception on the first drive of the game offensively for the Titans, it's first and goal. You're going to A.J. Brown, which is not a bad idea to go to A.J. Brown, but there are two Bengals right in front of him. And as soon as he let that ball go, to your point, Joe, I said, no, no. And you could see it floating through the air. It gets picked off. Ryan Tannehill was asked about the interception after the game. Here's what he had to say.
The interception early in the end zone there, you guys have generally been excellent in the red zone. But on that play, did you feel like you forced it? You know, I think Mike said that might be one you'd like to have back. Was that the case on that play?
Yeah, no doubt. No way I should have made that throw. We were trying to get the ball, tight end little leak there, and they did a good job covering it up, tried to scramble, make something happen. Saw AJ throw up his hands, just my snap reaction, let it rip. But there's no way I should make that throw. So just keep scrambling and either keep it on the ground, run it, or throw it away. Totally on me.
So a bad decision made there by Ryan Tannehill. He finishes the day 18 of 30, 233 yards, 2 touchdowns, and just that one pick there. So outside of the one interception, it wasn't an awful day for Ryan Tannehill. But to your point, Joe, at that point in the game, I mean, you're down 24-7 at one point in this game. Derrick Henry is just out of the game plan for the most part at that point, just given what's going on the other side of the ball.
Yep. They're playing. The Titans can come back. You know, they can come back. They're not an offense that has no chance of coming back on teams, but obviously they're much better with their best player on the field. So we've gone 2 weeks ago. We were talking about Henry for MVP, Tannehill for MVP, Mike Riolo for Coach of the Year. So things change quickly in the NFL.
How's that going right now? Yeah. I mean, the MVP conversation, it's not over.
No.
If they could come back and go 12-4, 13-3.
That's right.
They're right back in the thick of it.
With monster numbers to go with it, yes.
Which, based on the way this defense is playing right now, this team ends up 12-4 or 13-3.
They'll have to have
them. I bet they'll have some monster numbers along with it.
That's true. The Vrabel Coach of the Year stuff has faded.
Yes, it has. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, says, we'll be fine. We just got to get hot in the playoffs and run the ball like we did last year. Not concerned by Ben there. Thinks they're going to be fine moving forward.
It's refreshing, actually, to hear that versus Vrabel should be fired. I think both positions may be a little bit extreme. But, hey, a little bit of sunshine blowing is always good after a Monday. On a Monday after a loss.
Well, what did we say with all the COVID stuff was going down and you had the stretch coming up of Pittsburgh and you had Buffalo in there and then Cincinnati now? I mean, we said you get out of the stretch, you're 5-2. You're probably feeling pretty good about yourself. Here they are.
Yeah.
They're 5-2. Just the last couple weeks hadn't looked very good.
It's how you get there, yeah. If one of the two is to a Bengals team with XFL offensive linemen starting, that's the problem.
Big problem. Yesterday, you look around offensively, A.J. Brown didn't have a big day, 4 catches for 24 yards for the Titans. I thought the Bengals made it pretty clear that they were going to try their best to stick with him, although you mentioned earlier in the show he did have a play opportunity there that Tannehill zipped on him. I thought A.J. Brown could have made that catch, and then maybe you got a big play opportunity there. But Corey Davis, a big day yesterday, 8 catches, 128 yards, 1 touchdown. He was outstanding yesterday for the Titans at the receiver position.
Yeah, and Tannehill was looking his way early. I think, you know, that was a matchup thing and also a defense thing. You know, I think the Bengals at times were giving A.J. Brown extra attention, and that's great to have Corey Davis out there. I mean, they were making plays with this offense without Brown at times, without Davis at times, but having them both out there, you know, you really like how that looks. Now, of course, Humphreys, luckily, because that was obviously scary for a few minutes, so he's down for that long, but yep. He got up, was talking. You probably can count Humphreys out for the Bears. That's a huge loss, so someone else is going to have to step up there. But those two guys on the outside, it really is, the way Davis is playing this year, really, really compliments Brown well.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan with the Dixon County Fire and Rescue text in, how does this game change the conversation about can Tannehill take over a game without Derrick Henry? What's your response to that, Joe?
I don't know if it really changes it. I still think he can. Again, we saw him do it against New Orleans. Certainly, the Titans need both of those guys to be part of a game plan. I mean, Tannehill made one terrible throw. Right? He made one terrible throw to kill that first drive.
Yep.
You mentioned the A.J. Brown play. I think that might be a touchdown, and I think Tannehill put too much on it. I mean, it's technically a drop, A.J. Brown, but that he threw a fastball from 8 yards away, you know, and so that's a mistake. He wasn't great. It's also worth mentioning, and this speaks poorly of the Titans' defense again, it was a tough day to throw the ball yesterday. You know, I mean, it really was.
You were there in Cincinnati. Like, how much of a factor was the wind?
That's why, honestly, like, I was blown away.
Blown away by the wind.
Yeah, thank you. Not even in pun intended there. There was a kickoff. The ball hung up in the air. I don't know if you could tell that on TV. But, I mean, the ball actually stopped midair. And it ended up, like, coming down at the 10. And so you get the ball up in the air yesterday, and you have a problem. That's why I couldn't believe that what I was going to say blown away by was the Tannehill throw to Humphreys, that he even threw it that accurately. But how many times did we see guys throw downfield yesterday?
Not many.
I don't think really any differently about Tannehill other than that's a mistake you can't make. You can't make that one mistake. If your defense gives you that little margin for error, this game could have been different if they score that first touchdown. So that's a critical mistake. But can he take over a game? Sure. You know, does he get protection? Does he have good enough receivers? Is he good enough? Yeah. I think so.
I think so, too.
You just don't want to play that way. You want Derrick Henry involved.
It speaks a lot about Ryan Tannehill that we're having this conversation about what a bad decision it was on that first pick of the game, because it's been so out of character from what we've seen from him. Like, I saw him throw that ball, and my first reaction was like, what? I haven't seen him do that ever since being the Titans starting quarterback. Like, he's made some bad throws, but that decision was awful. And usually Tannehill's decision-making is pretty spot on. Like, even the pick he threw in the Texans game, like, it was a bad throw. He didn't throw it where it was supposed to be to Khalif Raymond going on the post, but it was a good decision because Raymond had him beat if he just put the ball where it was supposed to be. But the decision-making part of it there, that was the odd part, because Ryan Tannehill typically, decision-wise, has been pretty on point.
Yeah, he takes some risks sometimes and he usually gets away with it. Like, he gets the ball in there. But this was more than taking a risk. This was – I mean, he kind of said it there. It's like you saw the hand up and you just impulse throw it. But that was – I mean, that was like a rookie pick. That was like the pick the Titans hoped Burrow threw at some point yesterday.
When we come back, what did we make of Derrick Henry's snap count yesterday against the Bengals? It was a little bit lower than we're used to seeing from number 22. We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, I got a 4-pack of tickets to give away to see Nashville SC take on FC Dallas this Wednesday night at Nissan Stadium. If you can text into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and tell us what was Ryan Porth's record in Call Your Shot Friday with his Titan shots, I'll help you out a little bit. He had 5 opportunities for a called shot for the Titans-Bengals game this weekend. What was Porth's record in those 5 shots? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The first person to text that in correctly will win a 4-pack of tickets to see Nashville SC take on FC Dallas this Wednesday night at Nissan Stadium. When we come back, we'll continue the Titans talk. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How frustrating was it second half? You guys way behind as far as being out there on the field a lot and staying in the ball game, playing from behind. How frustrating was that for you?
It's got to be better. The offense put good plays together so we can extend drives and get touchdowns, you know, make corrections when we get in there tomorrow.
Yeah, Derrick, do you have an explanation for why drives were stalling out today? Was there something just different about your execution?
No, I don't. It's got to be better.
That was Titans running back Derrick Henry after the game yesterday, a 31-20 loss for the Titans against the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, I don't really understand why the Henry snap count was down yesterday. I thought he was running the ball really well. And to that point, Derrick Henry played 32 snaps yesterday out of the 60 offensive snaps taken by the Titans. Joe, did that surprise you that the number for Derrick Henry was that low in terms of his snap count yesterday?
I guess when I hear that number, I'm a little surprised. But, again, it gets to 24-7, and you're going with your third down back. You're going with someone a little bit quicker to get the ball to in a quick little swing pass, pass protect, and that's how they played it. So I will say that Dante Foreman was an interesting – change of pace. Not really a change of pace.
How many Titans fans knew who in the world Dante Foreman was before this game yesterday?
I mean, if you follow Texas football, you may have. But, yeah, he was a very good player there. I tell you what, he looked good, and it's an interesting idea to go with another hammer. You were always like, oh, Darrington Evans, you got to get the fast guy to go with the big guy. How about another big guy? But that's – now, Foreman only – he had 5 carries, 37 yards. He had 6 snaps. So that's a lot of production on a little amount of work. But that takes a few snaps away from Henry. But again, like 24-7, you are out of your normal game plan. And he still ends up with 112 yards rushing.
And that's the bigger thing. Like, you look at the rushing yardage yesterday for the Titans and really the yards per carry. I mean, Derrick Henry had 18 carries, 112 yards. That's 6.2 yards per carry. Jeremy McNichols, 4 carries, 49 yards. Foreman, 5 carries, 37 yards. I mean, you got Titans running backs averaging, you know, 6-7, and in Jeremy McNichol's case, 12 yards carry yesterday. So that goes back to your point earlier. If you're getting stops at all on the other side of the ball, you feel good about moving the ball on the ground yesterday for the Titans. I mean, they had 218 yards rushing in a loss yesterday.
Yeah, 29 carries, 218, 7.5 an attempt. Honestly, you could have won this game in a blowout, you know, but your defense won't let you even win it.
Well, we had a texter text in on Friday to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com and talking about the Titans rushing for 300 yards in this game. We're like, yeah, you know, I don't know, 300 yards is a lot. They have a normal game. Derrick Henry absolutely could have gotten into 300 yards total.
Yeah. I mean, so they needed 82 more yards. Give that to him. 194, certainly realistic against this. I mean, that could have happened. But you got to get ahead, and you got to get a freaking stop here or there on defense.
Yeah, and to that point, like, it's going to be interesting to see what Mike Vrabel has to say later on today. By the way, you can hear Mike Vrabel's press conference at 1:15 on Darren Donick and Chase, and our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. So going to be interesting to hear what he has to say. Because obviously, if you've heard some audio on our show today from Vrabel, he was in a bit of a mood yesterday after the game. You've lost two games in a row. Things are not going well right now. I'm interested, after he's had a chance to sit down and watch the film and dissect what happened yesterday against Cincinnati, if maybe there's a different way of approaching it today, a different tone, especially defensively, because it's very obvious that a lot of things have to change. I don't think it's just players that have to change. I think there are some coaching philosophies that are going to have to change on this as well, and hopefully they're open to doing that as they move forward.
Yeah, and again, I don't think he's going to sit there and say, okay, guys, I'm opening the doors. I'm going to tell you everything we're going to do.
Sure.
It's going to be a lot of the same message. This is an interesting case where what Vrabel is saying right now, I would say a lot of the fan base is saying there's no way. Now, what does – say Amy Adams Strunk think about it? You know, what do they think internally about this idea that, you know, there's just no impact, the whole D coordinator position has nothing to do with this? I think he was saying that after a game. He was ticked off about a loss, and there's probably some truth to it. Like, some of it is guys make plays, but almost anybody who heard that is like, no, there is no way. How could you possibly say that? Does he change at all today? It'll be interesting.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Adam in Portland texts in, says the head coach loves the kicker, the head coach loves Jadeveon Clowney, and the head coach is saying that a defensive coordinator doesn't matter. None of that is working, which means it's the head coach being the key variable here. He needs to stick to head coaching and let other people worry about the other stuff.
Well, I think next year you will see a defensive coordinator as a separate job with the Tennessee Titans, for better or for worse. That's why teams do it that way. That's why it's a conventional way to go about things. Actually, give some credit to Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. By the way, we were talking about this in the press box yesterday. He looked back at 2010 New England, really interesting. And that year, Pease left the Patriots, and Belichick went coordinatorless, and it was a disaster. It's kind of interesting. You know, 10 years later.
It's a common theme here.
Yeah, 10 years later, same sort of coaching tree, you know, coaching, you know, football family. And 10 years later, it's kind of history repeating itself with that. You're going to see, I agree with that texter. Like, you need a separate person who is accountable, responsible. Everyone else looks to them, says, that's the coordinator. And also that brings some new ideas. It seems like these guys could use an idea or two right now.
It seems that way. And switching back to offense for just a second, and I realize that it's deeper than this, and it's not anywhere close to the biggest problem on the team right now, but they are 0-2 since Taylor Lewan went down and is out of the lineup. And I think it's fair to say that even though offense is not the problem right now, they haven't looked quite as sharp the last 2 weeks offensively. How concerned are you at this point about the offense moving forward and maybe not getting back to the same level that they were, you know, against Buffalo and against Houston?
It's kind of the same thing in a way with Dean Pease. Why do you make such a big deal about going to find someone? Why is everybody talking about how great he is and what a big difference he makes? And now you downplay it. Why do you pay $80 million for a left tackle? Because he's going to help you be so much better. It's not just that he blocks his guy. I mean, it helps you do different things. So I think there is absolutely some concern. I think Tannehill hasn't played as well. He hasn't played poorly, but he hasn't played at that super high level. I mean, he was only sacked one time yesterday by a pretty bad defense. There was some pressure, though. There was some pressure at times that affected
him.
And
correct me if I'm wrong. I think the sack he gave up was some Rilo, I think, if I'm remembering correctly.
I can't say I recall. Maybe. You know, but some Rilo, honestly, like, that's been a good pickup. It's sure. Clutch to have him, but he's not
Taylor
LeJuan.
Imagine if they didn't have him right now.
Right, right. He's not Taylor LeJuan, you know. So, yeah, I think that's moving forward. Look, the Bears coming in this week, right? It's back to another team, kind of like the Steelers, that can really get after the passer, and you're going to have to account for that. And so you're going to have to take away from something else to account for it, at least at times.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in, Jonathan Joseph, Jadeveon Clowney, Vic Beasley, Bo Brinkley, all of them have got to go. So long, good riddance. Hope the door hits you on the way out.
Oh, we're no firing love for the long snapper.
No love for Bo Brinkley.
I will say, I mean, that snap, that bounced halfway.
2 weeks in a row.
I will say, we talked about, like, never before talking about Bo Brinkley, and the last 2 weeks it's been rough for old Bo. Maybe we jinxed him.
Yeah, and, like, the whole special teams, it really is, last couple weeks, all of a sudden, it's like there's already enough to worry about with this defense, and what are you guys doing over here? They're really.
Do you think
all of a sudden they can't cover? You know, they can't cover kicks and punts.
Do you think Craig Aukerman could be in some trouble here?
I mean, Stillman fired him a month ago, didn't he?
I know. I think Stillman fired him last year.
Yeah, he did.
He fired him last year too?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to remember last year. All I can remember of last year is the field goal misery.
Yeah,
but what was? I mean,
no, I don't know.
I mean, they just weren't very good. I don't remember them being like especially awful.
But I mean, that Jacksonville game, they're pretty bad.
I mean, like three.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. 3 weeks ago, the Buffalo game, they were awesome. They were the special teams unit was a big reason why they blew out the Bills.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And then ever since then, it has just been atrocious.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's variable, but see, this is where – so if you have a guy in the open field and he misses a tackle and everybody else does their job like they're supposed to do it, is that on the special team? Is it on him that Bo Brinkley botches snap or that Gostkowski's 10 of 17?
Well, no, but like, you know, if you're a head coach, is it on you that your quarterback throws a pick to lose a game to get you out of the playoffs and then you get fired? Like, that's part of it in today's NFL.
Sure. But I think when you fire someone, it's directly because there's a disconnect and you are consistently out of position or you're consistently just getting beat by the other team in the kicking game.
Yeah.
I don't think we're there yet.
I don't think we're there, but it is concerning if you're a Titans fan. That right now, two of the three parts of the game, and that is defense and special teams, have been absolute train wrecks. At least the last 2 weeks, and with the defense, I think you can make a pretty good argument it's been a train wreck the entire season. And that is not a good place to be because that puts a ton of pressure on your offense to put up 35, 38 points a game.
Right, and the funny thing is they still rank, you know, like middle of the pack in points allowed, but that's change. I mean, that's going up fast. You know, early in the year they were playing poorly on D, you know, and at times not, you know, still getting red zone stops, things like that.
Oh, getting turnovers.
Of course they did let the Jags go for 30 on them. Let's not forget that.
We were talking about after the game, man, the Jags may be better than they thought. They beat the Colts. Just took the Titans to the wire.
Did the Jags have an idle week this week, by the way?
You can make an argument they've had an idle week ever since then. Ever since week two against the Titans.
As long as we can keep saying idle.
Yeah, I did that even subconsciously there. Maybe your trick is working on me.
It is. I sent you guys that link. Did you see that link I sent you guys?
Yeah, I saw it.
The Athletic actually put it in the headline, idle week. I'm so proud. I was so proud of the Athletic.
I'm glad that's what's made you proud on the show.
Joe, I can confirm that the Jags were on a bye week this week.
Ah, nice. See, look what he did to me.
After their bye week, they return next week against the Houston Texans, who I think also had a bye week.
They did.
Yesterday. So two teams coming off a bye week next week between the Texans and the Jags.
We'll see how respond to that bye week.
There's four. There's five. It's fine. You guys can pile it up all you want. I will not relent.
You will eventually, hopefully.
No, there's no way.
No, no.
I don't care. You and any whatever a dictionary says.
When we come back, what did we make yesterday of the hit on Adam Humphries that knocked him out of the game? We'll discuss that on the other side. But first, Nashville SC taking on FC Dallas this Wednesday night at Nissan Stadium at 7:30. You can catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:15. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Mike, probably a lot of things, but what needs to change after two straight losses and after a game today when things didn't go very well?
Well, we got to change. We got to stick together. We got to change, how we play, which would start with how we practice. Practicing better, would lead to better performances. So that's the charge. We all can do more and have to do more when we lose.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the 31-20 loss yesterday to the Cincinnati Bengals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you, taking you through this Monday. Joe, the hit on Adam Humphries late in the first half yesterday against the Bengals. He goes across the middle, lays out, tries to make a diving catch, gets hit on the head. Now, I will be the first one to admit, I did not think it was a malicious hit. I didn't think it was necessarily intentional to hit him in the head that way. But I was amazed that there was no flag thrown on that play, because by the letter of the law, by the way the rule is written, contact to the head there's supposed to be a flag thrown on the play. There was not. I was shocked by it, especially with the referees looking right at the play with the ball coming from Adam Humphries. And I realize that it's a fast game. You don't always see everything in the NFL. I get that. But I was blown away there was no flag thrown on that play. What did you make of that play, and what did you make of the hit on Adam Humphries?
Yeah. Well, look, when you see it in what you see a lot of times with these things is if you do see a player stay down after something like that, sometimes the flag comes a little late, and it's a reaction to that. When you watch the replay, it's not a straight-up blast to the head. He sort of hits him in the back, and then Humphrey's head hits the turf. So, like, I watched it and said, okay, that's not like a dirty play. Now, I do agree that the way that they're trying to clean up the game, that's usually just automatic, and so why not throw it there? I think I will predict right now that there will be some kind of – see, I'm watching it right now. See, I'm watching it over and over right now. Yeah, it's sort of contact to the head, but it's kind of like his shoulder. It's close enough. The way that they want to clean up the game, that I wouldn't be surprised if there's a fine. So that's weird when you have no flag, but you have a fine.
Yeah,
right?
That would make me even more mad if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, he kind of tried to pull up and just sort of hit his shoulder. I mean, I'm watching over and over. I don't know. It's close. Bang, bang, watching it live, it looked dirtier than it looks on replay. So Usually, if you're going, it's just like the Jonathan Joseph PI earlier. That looked like clear PI to me and live action. And then later it's like, okay, maybe not so much. It is surprising that given the nature of that play and how they're trying to police these things that they didn't throw a flag.
Yeah, and good news that Adam Humphries seems like he's going to be okay. Now, we don't know what his status is going to be for this week against Chicago. I would probably say doubtful, but we'll just have to wait and see how the week unfolds here. But that looked very scary for a little bit there.
Yeah, it was a concussion, so they gave us that during the game. So it's just a matter of all the protocols with the concussion. But, yeah, I think you're probably right. Probably a good chance that he doesn't play against Chicago, so – now you're asking your depth guys again to step up, and Cleve Raymond probably, but maybe more Cam Batson, little Nick Westbrook, whatever it may be. But Humphrey is a big part of this offense.
What did you make of the pass interference call against Malcolm Butler where Jayon Brown gets the pick? What did you make of that situation, that play there?
I thought it was really questionable. It was very close. I'm not ready to say it was absolutely a terrible, wrong call, but it was ticky-tack, and it was really close to with the balls arriving, when Jayon Brown picked it off. So I understand Titans if they're upset about it. It'd be interesting to see if Vrabel says anything about that today. Probably won't, but he did say he got no explanation of that yesterday, because initially the TV replay had appeared. And I was just watching the replay in the press box, but it looked like they were looking at the Jonathan Joseph thing on the other side, which was not a – that would have been a terrible call.
Yeah.
The Butler play was definitely closer to a correct call, but, well, it's a tough one to swallow if you're the Titans.
Well, the ref never announced who it was.
Right.
It was just pass interference on the defense.
On somebody.
All right. Cool.
Right.
Thanks.
Which is another officiating no-no. You tell us the number.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred from Ashland City texts in, "What made it suck is they knocked Humphreys out with an elbow to the back of the head and we get no flag, and then they throw one on us when Vaccaro open palm hit someone in the face mask." I think Titans fans feel like there was a lot of inconsistency with the officiating yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think that that's the correct characterization of elbow in the head. Again, I just watched this play 20 times in a row. I think the biggest thing that happened to Humphreys on that play was that his head hit the turf after he went down, but it was an awkward – he kind of got hit up, and then he slams back down. But, yeah, the Vaccaro play was close too, but that's – in both cases, really the answer is throw the flag because you're trying to make it safer. You're trying to clean all that stuff up.
Let's go to Twitter. Lionel Hutz Law tweets in, "Officiating was awful. Titans defense and kicking game was worse. Just a terrible performance all around. I'd appreciate a heads up the next time the Titans get this same crew, though. They're bad."
Yeah.
Did you think the officiating was especially bad yesterday?
Yeah, not necessarily. I expect a few bad calls in every game. We got a few bad calls. I wasn't sitting there. Honestly, I think the biggest beef the Titans have, and it was actually really significant in this game, was that holding call on Ben Jones, from what I saw of it. Because that took away first down for Derrick Henry. They were just rolling down the field again.
And there was not a good look of it on the replay, but I never saw holding by Ben Jones there. I don't know if they just didn't catch it on the tape, on the replay. I don't know. I never saw holding there.
And the official who threw it, you know, like, so his back was to me, and I'm looking from behind the official. I mean, it was really late, and he was really covered by a lot of players. So, like, I don't see how he could have gotten a clear look. And then the replay from what we saw was like, huh, what? So bad calls. I didn't think this officiating crew was like, oh my gosh, you know, suspend them for 2 weeks bad, but they made some bad calls.
They did. And I'm not sure, you know, the officiating was not the difference in this game. The Titans defense, their inability to get off the field on third down and their inability to get to this quarterback yesterday. I still go back. I'm just shocked that they had zero sacks yesterday. Zero against that offensive line that was so depleted and so, you would probably think, ill-prepared coming into that game. There were some mixing parts you had to do. Quentin Spain came in, and he had just gotten there this week. Like, there's a whole lot of moving parts with this offensive line. And for them to come out and just totally control not only Clowney and Beasley, we've talked a lot about them today, but Jeffrey Simmons, I didn't think, had a very good game at all yesterday. For them to totally control the Titans' defensive front the way they did, you can talk about the officiating, and that's fine. I do think there were some bad calls. But you're not going to win a whole lot of games anywhere, period, when the Titans' defense is playing as bad as they played yesterday.
No. I mean, Quentin Spain got – I think Friday he did a little walkthrough with them and comes in and play. You know, again, you're talking about some practice squad guys, four different starters from the week before. The entire starting offensive line from week one was not on the field for them. I mean, it really is basically a practice squad offensive line. And you got two quarterback hits, no sacks, got run on. At times, Burrow had all day to throw. It was just an all-around just dismal performance that really makes you think they got to change something.
And then to bring it up again with Clowney and Beasley, combining for one tackle yesterday, Javion Clowney finishes with one tackle. That was the production you got out of those two yesterday.
38 snaps for Beasley, 44 for
38
Clowney.
Snaps for Beasley. Wow.
He did register in the book with two offsides.
Yeah.
So he gets
worked hard, man. Go get some oxygen.
Those were the only two snaps of those 38 where you noticed Beasley.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of snaps actually for him. It certainly, quantity does not create quality with him. But Clowney, 44, and then, again, Landry played, I think, all but one snap, like 71 snaps.
Which wasn't that supposed to be like a big talking point this year is, hey, we got to find a way to get Landry off the field more and give him some breaks. He's missing like maybe one snap a game now.
Right, so instead they're trying to alternate the other two. And, again, Clowney's still better than Beasley. I mean, Clowney looks like he's a football player who can do something at times. Beasley not, but, yeah, Landry is over there just playing every single snap.
Unbelievable.
When we come back, we'll continue to get your reaction on the Titans' loss to the Bengals yesterday. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown location this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Chicago Bears at Nissan Stadium. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth reacting to a Titans loss 31-20 to the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, why don't the Titans leave Derrick Henry in on third down more? I mean, defenses still have to account for him, and he gets yards, it seems, anyway, when he is in on third down.
I think that's fair. I mean, look, think about the some of the recent games where they've had Henry, they had the 53-yarder sort of in passing situations. Even coming down against the Steelers, he was on the field. So I think that's fair. I think it was one of those, if you know you're in straight-up throw it mode, and we've been talking all year about his workload, right, too, then it makes sense to throw in more of a traditional third-down back. But I always think it's a good idea to have him on the field because he's a threat. I mean, he's a threat to outrun everyone in any situation.
And it would be another thing, too, like if Jeremy McNichols was coming in there and he was catching, you know, 2-3 balls a game coming out of the backfield. I mean, he's not. It's not like Tannehill with McNichols in the game is looking his way to throw the ball. So if you're not going to throw the ball to him, I'd say just leave Derrick Henry in.
I guess the next question, though, is in those situations when you know you're down, they're going to play soft zone. And they're going to try to the pass rushers know what they're doing. They're coming at your quarterback. Who is your best pass protector? That's probably who you go with. So maybe they have a little bit more confidence in McNichols. I think Henry's got a lot better that way, but maybe McNichols is a little bit better.
Maybe so. It is an interesting point, though, because it is, you know, you get Derrick Henry the ball, even if it's on a swing pass. We've seen. He can break one.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. So maybe there's some adjustments to be made by the Titans there as they move forward here. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Josh texts in, he would trade for Stephon Gilmore and pick up Eli Apple at the trading deadline here for the Titans. What do you make of maybe adding some moves to the secondary there?
Yeah, the whole Eli Apple's an example of someone who was a prominent draft pick and player and all that, and usually if he gets released, that probably tells you something. I understand it's like, oh, he's a name. I know the name, Eli Apple. But there's probably a reason. Again, that he was dropped. So, I don't know. I mean, I think corner, the bigger way to me, way bigger issue is pass rush because you don't have any answers on your roster. You have answers on this roster in Adoree Jackson and then Christian Fulton at some point that should make you better. You have a chance to be better. Pass rush, I got nothing for you. Like, I think you have to find new people there.
Well, how do you go about doing that?
Well,
like, who's out there right now for them to go get as a pass rush?
Well, Corey Curtis brought up Marcus Golden from the Giants. You know, Ryan Kerrigan, if Washington's not trading him.
Wasn't Golden already traded at Arizona last week?
I think he's
in Golden was traded to Arizona.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know what's out there.
Maybe Arizona will trade him real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Just move him around.
See how that goes.
So, there you go. Take him off. Kerrigan, they're supposedly not interested. That's Schefter reported that. You've got Tack McKinley. Falcons pass rusher. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's no great answer right now.
But isn't it to the point where, like, if you're John Robinson and you like the tape of what you've seen from somebody, either on somebody's practice squad or maybe a guy on a bad team that doesn't play all that much, but he at least shows something. Like, anything at this point is an improvement. Anything,
right?
I don't care what it is.
No, I think that I bet you. This personnel staff has looked very deep into every single edge guy on every single practice squad in this league. And they keep up on all these guys anyway, but I bet you it's been heavy study on that because, yeah, I think that something like that's very possible this week. and maybe in a trade too. I don't know, but I think you got to you look. Like Kamale Correa, not a big pass rusher, so it's not like you lost that, but it's still a solid guy who was pretty good for you last year, and you just decide you're not playing him anymore, and he gets mad, and it's okay, see you later. But, man, you're kind of in a bind right now.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Is there any chance the Titans could trade for J.J. Watt? Let me just tell you, Houston is not trading J.J. Watt to the Titans.
Well, I it's interesting because, yeah, the Watt thing, I mean, that's been reported also that he's untouchable. I think John McClain reported, like, here's the four guys they will not trade, and he was one of them. But Whitney Mercilus?
Yeah.
Younger guy, good pass rusher. But, again, are the Texans going to give their division rival up? You know, I guess if you get something back that you're happy with, because you've got to do a whole bunch in the draft. But, yeah, Watt supposedly, reportedly, is not up for trade.
Well, it's just an interesting spot to be in for John Robinson because, look, I mean, let's be honest here. Like, you're not winning the Super Bowl with this defense. It's not going to happen. Like, you're not good enough on defense unless something changes dramatically to win a Super Bowl. So, John Robinson's not stupid. Like, he realizes that. I think Mike Vrabel can look at this defense right now and realize that as they're playing, they're not good enough to win. They are not good enough to win a Super Bowl. I don't care how good that Titans offense is. So what do you do? Like, how do you address it? I think some of it is just hoping that Clowney eventually figures it out. I'm with you. I have no hope for Vic Beasley at this point. Like, he's done. I don't even think he wanted to be here in the first place. And now here we are, and he's just like a warm body out there. But John Robinson's not stupid. I mean, he looks at this roster right now and knows that defense is not good enough to win a championship. Right. You have to.
And we talk about edge rushers, which – they absolutely need help. We talk about secondary. Again, I just – like that to me is the third most important position to trade for because you have Adoree Jackson coming back at some point. You have Christian Fulton coming back, and I think you could actually be pretty good at corner with those three. But what we haven't talked about today much at all is up front, and someone mentioned Daquan Jones, but like Jeffrey Simmons, very little impact yesterday. The idea of getting someone who could help him, you know, the Quinnen Williams thing has been thrown out there, and that there's been conflicting reports on whether they would shop him or not. But another just space eater, because right now it's like Simmons is up there without much help. And, of course, Jarrell Casey is one of those things that we can easily second guess now on how this is all unfolded. But could you look to try to bolster that? I think that's worth looking at too. There's a lot of problems in this defense, a lot of things that you'd like to fix right now. You can't fix everything, but I think somewhere in that front seven, there's got to be different faces out there wearing a Titans uniform here soon.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim from Clarksville texting in, trade for Melvin Ingram. Chargers aren't going anywhere.
Ingram's another one that's been thrown out there, and another guy who he's been banged up, I think, what, a lot of this year, right? I think
so. He's played four games.
So he has played four. Okay. You know, he's in his 30s. He's been an awfully good player, you know, for them. But he's worth a look. It's at least someone on a bad team. I don't know how they lost that game yesterday, but someone on a bad team that might be looking to sell and load up some draft picks.
He's a rental, too. He's a free agent after this season.
Yeah. And John Robinson's been a guy that, I mean, he hasn't really done this in his career with the Titans so far. Being at the trading deadline and going out and making a big push to bring somebody in, it almost feels to me, Joe, and tell me if you disagree, if he doesn't do that this time around, Titans fans are going to be irate by what they've seen on defense. And if you don't go out and try to help that, I think it's going to be a bad look, and I think Titans fans are not going to be happy.
I've seen some Titans fans say they better hire a DC or I'm revolting. Well, then revolt, because it's not going to happen.
Right.
That's not happening. But, yes. Different personnel, big-time personnel moves this week, whether it's signing someone on a practice squad, trading, cutting, all of it. I think Titans fans should expect it, and I think that it should happen because I think you've gotten to the point now where you're talking about a great offense, a 5-2 team that just went to the AFC title game, and a terrible defense. You got to do something about it. What that is, that's a much tougher question.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, let's just say Mike and J-Rob don't know what else to do. Just listen to 102.5 The Game and they'll have the answer. I mean.
Yes. Is that sarcasm?
No.
No, that's.
I'm going to. Ron is dead serious. Ron has been texting all day. He's dead serious.
Ron believes in us. Ron wants believes us. In us. He believes that we should be the coach and GM. Ron would hire us to be the coach and GM.
Who would be the coach and who would be the GM?
How good are you at math?
I'm not good. I would be bad in both roles, but I'll take the GM.
Good. I'll be the coach. I don't care. Less math. I'll let you with all
I'll
the contracts.
I'll do some math
and
you watch some film and you know, you deal with all the issues and answer, you know, have to be on a Zoom with people like us every day.
I can do that. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back tomorrow to continue to break down the Titans. Also, got a lot of college football to get to tomorrow as well, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.